We're finishing up the Agadah Torah here on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and with that we'll be Mesayim Mirtz Hashem, the third perek of Pesachim. And we're up to Bishlema, which is about halfway through the Amud. The Gemara was interpreting a parasha in Zechariah Navi, which foretells the ultimate Geula. And the Gemara offered a number of possible interpretations of a pasuk in Zechariah Vahoyah Bayom Ahu that describes the day, the great day when Gog will come onto Yerushalayim and attack Yerushalayim. And the Gemara had offered a number of different interpretations. And the Gemara now takes a look at the very next pasuk in there. It says, Bishleim Laman Diomar, I understand, according to one man Diomar who holds that Kol Biza Shebozu Yisrael, that the Biza of Klal Yisrael would be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, Hainu Dechsiv, then we understand the next part of the Pasuk. It says, V'haya HaSiros BeBeis HaShem KaMizrakim Lifnei HaMizbeach. Even the very bowls that they will use to collect the Deshen, right, the ashes from the Mizbeach, or, for example, there'll be pots that they will use to cook the zvachim, the various meats of the karbonos, will be made of gold and silver, just like the mizrak, which is the receptacle that receives the dam, which was made of gold and silver. So too, all other utensils in the Beis HaMikdash will be made of gold and silver because of the biza, the great booty and the bounty that they will take from Gog when Gog is defeated. Elamandiyam Rahani Tarti. But we have other interpretations. We had one interpretation in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi about the fact that the boundaries of Yerushalayim will be expanded, Liyosid Lavo. We had an interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, and he was of the opinion that the bells that we use to as ornates to decorate the horses, they will be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. But according to those interpretations, what does the pasuk mean when it describes the siros bebeis Hashem that will be like the mizrakim in front of the mizbeach? And the Gemara answers, milsa dachriti ka'amar. You have to read the pasuk and split it into two. There are two different parts of the pasuk, and this is a new section, like press the return button, as we would say in computers, right? The misatre Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael become wealthy, umisnadve, and they will contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, umaise, and they will bring even great bowls and pots that are made of kesef vizav, of gold and silver. The Gemara then says, Bishleim Laman Diomar Lebiza, if the pasuk is referring to that which will take from Gog when we defeat them in that ultimate battle, is Hainu Dechsiv, now we understand the next pasuk in Zechariah Novi, V'lo Yechnani Od Bebeis Hashem Tzvakos. And the Gemara understands that the word Knani here refers to Socharim. These are professional sellers that sell their merchandise. And we will no longer need these Socharim to buy their wares and their utensils that they sell in the market for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, because we've gotten so wealthy by taking over this booty from Gog, and all of the contributions that will be made, we don't need the Knani, we don't need the Socharim. Elamandi Omerhani Tarte, but according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the subject of this Nevuah is the expansion of the boundaries of Yerushalayim, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the ornate bells that are taken from the horses, my Veloya Knani. What does Veloya Knani mean when we talk about the great wealth of the Jewish nation at the end of days, and therefore they will contribute so much of their wealth to the Beis HaMikdash that there's no need to buy the merchandise? On Rabbi Yirmiyah, the word Knani means Ein Kan Ani. we take the word Kanani and we divide it into parts, which is called Notrikin, and it means Ein Kan Ani. There won't be any Anius be Yisrael, because as we said before, the Yerushalayim will be expanded and all the beautiful, ornate Tachshitim and so forth, all this booty that will be taken will enrich the Jewish nation, and therefore lo yeknani ein kan ani. There will be no more anius, no more poor people. And the Gemara now asks, uknani minolin de ikre tagor. How do we know that the word knani in Bible, when we interpret and translate the word, that knani is not the name of a nation that occupies Canaan, but rather it's a refers to the socharim, to the merchants, d'chsiv, because Reish Lakish has a whole drasha regarding the parish of Yehuda and Tamar. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayarsham Yehuda bas ish Knani. He has a relationship with a woman who is described as the daughter of a Knani. My Knani. Should we take the word Knani literally? Ilema Knani mamish. If it really means a non-Jewish woman from the nation of Canaan, is it possible Efshar Shabbav Ram v'Hizr is Yitzchak, Bo Yitzchak v'Hizr is Yaakov, Yehuda Ozil v'Nosiv? Is it feasible that after Avram warned Yitzchak about not, you know, he told Eliezer, he instructed him, Lo tikach isha libni mibnos Canaani, Yitzchak in turn warns Yaakov, Lo tikach isha mibnos Canaan. This was part of the legacy, and Yehuda would go ahead and marry a woman of Bnos Kanani. Ela Amrab Shim ben Lakish, Bas Ish Kanani, means Bas Gavra Tagora, the daughter of a merchant. Dechsiv, and I'll show it to you in Hoshea Novi, Knan Biyodo Mi Ozne Mirma, that you are like swindlers, you are like merchants that cheat people. And you keep balances that maznayim, that are sheker, that are not accurate, in order to fool the people. And you're not interested in any sort of chesed or mishpat. That's the castigation here of Hoshea Novi. But in any event, we see that the word Knan here refers to socharim, to merchants. Ibai say mihocha, another possibility from a pasuk in Yeshaya. We're going to establish the meaning of the word Knani. And the Pasuk says, Mi ya'atz zos al tzor ha-matifa, asher socharea kisarim kina'aneha kinichbedei eretz. So we see that the Pasuk refers to socharim, and it refers to kina'aneha, as a reference to these tagarim, these socharim. So we see that Knani is a socher. Now the Gemara continues to interpret the nevuah of Zechariah about the Achris Hayomim. Vayo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz, bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And we're describing a day in the future when yeh Hashem echad, when God will be one. So the Gemara very naively asks the question, Otu ha'idno lav echad hu? It's only going to be by Yom Ahu. That's when God will be one? That can't be. Ella, we're going to have to reinterpret this. Omer Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Lo Ka'olam Hazeh Olam Haba. Our perception of God in this world is not in anywhere similar to our perception of God in the world to come. And well, how is this so? Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world, we have two kinds of brachos. We divide our blessings into two categories. One is al besoros tovos omer baruch hatova meitiv, v'al besoros ros omer baruch dayon ha'emes. But li'olam haba, in the next world, kulo hatova meitiv, we will have no need to recite the bracha baruch dayon ha'emes. There will not be a besora ra. And this is what the pasuk means, that liyosid lavo yeh Hashem echad means we'll bless him with only one blessing, one bracha of hatov ve'hametiv. And some of the commentaries point out that the Atova Metiv in this world stands in contrast with Baruch Adayon HaEmes, because Baruch Adayon HaEmes seems on the surface level, when we see these terrible things happening and suffering and death, then we are forced to bless God as the Dayan HaEmes. This is not Tova Metiv. We don't perceive here God's chesed, his goodness. We perceive his strict attribute of justice. And therefore we have to bless God in a different way. Not for the midah of chesed, but rather for gvura and din. But in the asid level, we'll understand that even din is chesed. We'll have that perception that everything that God brought about for us, even those terrible sufferings, is all part of the world, the divine goodness, and the chesed of Hashem. Ushmo Echad. My Echad, once again, God's name will be one. As we said, that Hashem Echad means that we will be able to bless Him with one bracha. But what's Shmo Echad? What does it mean he'll have one name? Otu idnu lav shmo echad hu? Now we don't have one name? Now, there are those who thought that the Gemara's question really begs another answer. That even though now God has one name, but the nations of the world do not consider him the king, they don't accept him as the sovereign leader of the entire universe. But at the end of days, even the nations of the world will concede, and they will accept God as Hashem Echad. But the Gemara gives a different answer. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak Loka Olam Hazeh Olam Haba, God's name is pronounced differently in this world than it will be pronounced ultimately at the time of the Kates. Holam Azeh, in this world, Nichtav B'Yud, you write Yud Hey and then a Vav Hey. But Nico, we don't read it the way it's written. We read it Ba'alif Dalet, with the name Adnus. And in effect, we have now a dichotomy, a division between God's name and the way we read God's name and pronounce God's name. Aval yolam haba kulo echad, nikra b'yudhei v'nichtav b'yudhei. We'll be able to recite God's name exactly as it is written, without any discrepancy between the writing, the way it's written, and the way we read it. He has here the following, in the name of the Ben Yehoyada, he says, now, Matsui Sheker Ba'olam, there's plenty of falsehood in the world, and a person will speak with his mouth, Mashalohoya Rabbi Enov, even if he didn't see it. And he listens to things, and they were not said. And sometimes he does the opposite of what is said to him by Chachamim. So therefore, we don't have the ability to enunciate the holy name of God as we see it with our eyes. Because as we said before, there's a discrepancy between what you see with your eyes and what you recite with your mouth. And therefore, Ein Shomim Ba'azneim Azkara, we won't be able to hear with our ears the real true Azkara of God's name, as it's written in the Sefer Torah. But liyasid lava, when sheker would be batel agamre, when people will only speak the truth, then will be zocher to express God's name. The way we see it will be the way we hear it and the way we recite it. I wanted to read to you. A note here he quotes the Tzlach. He says that the focus of the Gemara on the blessings for good and bad news, the Gemara could have said simply that in this world we have both bad and good. In the world to come, everything will be good. So the Tzlach, quoting Rav Ephraim Reicher, says that nothing truly bad comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein ra milamala. The suffering that God visits upon man is intended for his good, for man's good, to subdue his evil inclination, to purify his soul, so he'll be fit to enjoy the Olam Haba, the reward in the world to come. In this world, however, man doesn't appreciate the benefit of suffering and tragedy. Only in the next world they will look in retrospect at that which he perceived as bad and acknowledge its inherent goodness. And with this new perspective, he will be able to recite the bracha, Baruch HaTov VaMeitiv. God, you are the good and you do good. And that applies to everything. That which we see and perceive on the surface is good, and even that which we perceive as bad, as suffering. So God's oneness is not fully appreciated in this world. It's difficult to reconcile between suffering, tragedy on the one hand, and God's attributes of mercy and kindness on the other. In the next world, though, man will experience a full acknowledgement that God is one, that there's no split between good and evil. Which reminds me of the Gnostics believed that there were two deities, one for good and one for bad. The Shem HaMiyuchad, which is God's ineffable name, the Tetragrammaton, is spelled Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. However, it's pronounced as Adnus. It's not pronounced the way it's written. The name will be pronounced in the future just as it's written. And Ushmo Echad means that in contrast to this world, where there are two versions of God's name, in the world to come, there'll be only one version. And he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that all of God's name represents the ways in which God relates to this world. There's only one exception. There's only one name which reflects on God in and of himself. And that's the Shem HaMiyuchad, the ineffable name, which doesn't refer to the relationship between God and his creation, but rather God's actual name, meaning God copy himself, the essence of God. Man as part of the creation is disassociated from his name, meaning the Shem HaMiyuchad, and he may not utter it. But in the world to come, man will realize that there is no existence independent of God, and God's name will be pronounced as it is written. And finally, to finish the Agadita and the Perek, Savar Rava Lemidrasha Bepirka, Rava wanted to darshan on Shabbos publicly and explain the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the ineffable name of God, of Havaya Bar Ostar Ba Osios, to explain its inner meaning. Amaleahu Saba, some say this is Eliyahu Hanavi. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Gimel, at the Maisa of the Sne, it says, Zeshmi Leolam, and it's written Le'olam without a Vav. Normally, Le'olam forever is written with a Vav, and the Torah deliberately omitted the Vav, and then you read it as Halama, which means that God concealed his name, Zeshmi Be'Halama, that's without the Vav. And we derive from this that you should not darshan publicly regarding the interpretation, the meaning of the ineffable, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name of God. Rabbi Avina Rami, he asked the Kasha on that very parsha of the Sne. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Zeshmi Leolam, which means a lashon without a vav of Ha'alama, that God is concealed. V'zeh zichri l'dor v'dor. And yet, zichri l'dor v'dor seems to imply that we should remember God's name as it's written. How do you reconcile that with the fact that it's halama? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo kshani nichtam ani nikra, nichtam ani biyud hei, V'nikra ani bi'alif dalet. So the word zichri here means this is the way it's meant to be recited, to be enunciated. So that God is declaring, my name is not pronounced the way it's written, and we read it as, even though it's written as Yud Kei Vav Kei, we read it out loud as if it was Aleph, Aleph Dalet. The first part of this pasuk teaches that Hashem's name must be concealed and it should not be uttered aloud, and that refers to the Yud Kei spelling. The second part, which implies that the name may indeed be uttered out loud, and the zichri means that's the way you recite it, that's a reference to Aleph Dalet. So the pronounced name Aleph Dalet is needed in this world, whereas the written name Yud Kei will remain even in the world to come. And therefore the Torah states regarding the pronounced name that Zeh Zichri L'Dor V'Dor, this is the way through the Doros we recite the name of Hashem. However, Zeh Shmi L'Olam, but when it comes to eternity, this is my name, Yud Kei, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So, Hadron Alecha Perek Elu Ovrim. And now we could begin Perek Mokom Shenogu, the fourth Perek of Masechta Pesachim Imirtz Hashem.